name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Run, Barry, run!
Welcome to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. Thanks for slowing down for a moment. I'm your host, Josh.
And I'm Dante Ramon. I'm here to tell you, don't fear the rupture. Hold on.
That's...
Quite the same punch, right?
No, you need more cowbell on that. What else you got?
How about I never met a human I didn't like?
That works good. Okay. That works good. You guys have discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show, The Flash, with discussion and commentary and all the various episodes of this amazing show, which ramped up. Now, I did have a little problem this week.
Just a little problem. Okay.
Just a little problem. Now, I don't know if I'm sounding a little bit different to you. Do I sound any different?
You sound a little more nasally.
Okay.
Than you normally do.
Okay. Well, that's pretty normal actually. But no, I thought I'd take a little walk in the park. Now that it's getting nice outside, you know, just
sure.
Take my laptop outside,
yeah.
Sit in the park and do some work. So I went and sat at the park over by Star Labs.
There. Okay. Yeah. Is the park, does it have the same security system as the Star Labs?
Oh yeah. It's really easy to get in. You just open the gate. It's their combination is 1, 2, 3, 4. So I'm sitting in the park right by Star Labs, and all of a sudden a freak lightning storm comes from the roof of the building. I thought I saw some guy up on top of the building. And just like that, my computer gets fried.
Cisco!
Totally gone. Totally. I'm hoping that they can recover what I need. But for now, I have no computer.
Wow. No backup, huh?
No. Yeah, don't judge me. So anyway, I'm coming to you live from different resources and tools this week as we discuss The Flash.
Yeah.
But we'll make it work.
What amazes me, though, Josh, is that, you know, the piece of twine and the two solo cups that we have, you know, managed to reach this far across the country and still sound that good.
They sound pretty good. It is important that you keep them tight, though.
Yes.
Okay. Because if you don't keep them tight, they start to. No, you're loosening it up again. Keep it tight. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to keep it.
All right. I'll keep pulling on it. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Good. Thank you. Well, you know what? In the meantime, while you're keeping that twine like a toiga, why don't you tell us what we watched this week on Flash?
We did. We watched the episode called Rupture, which is the 20th episode of the second season, 220 here. Aired originally on May 3rd, 2016. Written by our good old friend Caillou Wu and Lauren Certo. Her name doesn't sound familiar to me.
No. Well, Caillou Wu does. But.
Caillou Wu definitely does. Yeah, he's worked on a number of episodes here. Directed by Armin V. Kevorkian. So the V is very important because...
I would think so.
Not to be confused with the other Kevorkian, I guess. So. All right. So in this episode, Cisco and Barry are using a drone and light-projected flash to keep Central City safer. Despite having some success playing hoodlums and holograms, Wells tries to convince everyone that their little ruse isn't going to last too long, and Zoom will start wrecking havoc when Zoom starts wrecking havoc, because Zoom will wreck havoc unless Barry lets him recreate the particle accelerator explosion. Barry is so torn with the decision, he even asks his dad, Henry, for advice. But in the end, Barry decides that the risk of exposing others to the experiment is just too dangerous. Of course, then, Zoom shows up. He announces to the CCPD that the city belongs to him now, blah, 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 and he'll kill everyone that gets in his way.
He's monologuing.
He is monologuing. He was monologuing a lot. And he brought along a little chat box too I felt like Caitlin was a little parrot. It's like, no, don't do it. Just to kind of, you know, make him feel a little bit better. Zoom even brings Rupture with him to shake things up. He's a doppelganger of Cisco's brother Dante from Earth 2, and he's got vengeance on his mind. The cards are just stacked too high against Barry, so he finally decides that the dangers outweigh the risks just too much, and he instructs Wells to prepare the procedure. As everyone takes their place, expresses their emotions, and watches dramatically, the power surges on and on through Star Labs, through the particle accelerator, and through Barry until...
Dave? Are you there?
Hmm? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. And then Barry just kind of disintegrated.
Oh, he's not there anymore. Oof. He's gone. And that's the end. But they still have more episodes. How can he be gone?
He's like dust in the wind, dude. I don't know. That is a really excellent
That'd be a good
question.
Song. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm. So I think next week on the, I'm not sure what we're going to talk about.
Well, I have confidence because of our very first little news story here. I have confidence that next week is going to be a high quality episode.
I can totally agree with you on that.
Yes, and that's because Kevin Smith is going to help us understand what is happening here.
Good old Silent Bob.
Silent Bob is going to tell us everything. Oh, wait, that doesn't work. No, but Kevin Smith is going to direct next week's episode. And this is not the type of episode I expected him to direct. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen yet. But it is so not a part of the storyline that I thought that they would throw him in there.
Yeah. Well, and
however,
when I hear the title, which I want to talk to you a little bit later about it, when I hear the title of the next episode called The Runaway Dinosaur, I'm like, are we even talking about a Flash episode here? So we can get back to that later. But yeah, go continue on. This is also good news here.
Well, yeah, because apparently the cast and crew really dug Kevin Smith, which I don't see how you could not, unless you're not a fan of, you know, heavy cursing. But other than that, they really enjoyed working with him, so much so that he will be back next Woo! Season to direct an episode. Now, he is scheduled to direct an episode of The Flash. He is a busy guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm sure that they have planned this well ahead of time, but he's actually scheduled to direct an episode in August. And he's directing in August. The show won't be airing in August.
Right.
He will
so
be directing.
We can probably assume it'll be a late September or November show. So probably,
right.
It could be the episode, the mid-season finale.
It could be
at
yeah.
that point.
It could be, but it should be before the mid-season finale if they're filming in August, I would guess.
I would like to see him, the next episode be a spin on maybe one of his titles, like Small Rats or Yogurt Hosers or something like that.
Yogurt Hosers. Now, you're questioning the Runaway Dinosaur. Do you want Yogurt Hosers?
I just want to see what he could do with that, I guess.
Okay, cool. I'd be done with that. So now I haven't seen the episode that's been directed by him, but I am a big fan of Kevin Smith and what he does, because I think he's an amazing storyteller, really.
Yeah.
And so I'm really interested to see how they go with this in an episode where Barry maybe doesn't have his speed, or maybe gets it back, but can't wait.
Or maybe Barry's just a bunch of dust floating through the ether.
Yeah. Although based on what we saw, I'm thinking, you know, he's running around looking for some clothes, but we'll have to figure that out.
Congratulations, you have killed the Flash.
I thought he was going to laugh there, but we'll talk about Zoom. We'll talk about Zoom.
Okay. All right.
Hey, one other little piece of news, which is not entirely Flash related, at least not yet, but I thought it was interesting to share. A little Supergirl news for you. Now, despite it being May, we still have absolutely no news on whether or not Supergirl is going to be renewed on CBS. However, we do have maybe a little insight of what might happen. There's some talks that Supergirl may be moving to the CW
that
for
is
season two.
So weird.
It's weird? You think it's weird?
Well, I mean, just... I can understand it because CBS and CW are both owned by the same parent corporation, but I don't, you know, there are shows that move from one lower tier network to another, you know, like with Buffy the Vampire Slayer moving from what, Fox to UPN, I think. But a show moving from CBS to the CW, that's just unheard of. But based on what people are saying, it could be, you know, financial reasons.
Yeah, here's some reasons that may be happening. Okay, number one, Supergirl did pretty well for a freshman show on CBS. Maybe not quite as well as they were hoping, at least as far as budget goes. It is the most expensive show that CBS has been doing.
And it looked great. I mean,
it did look great.
They did a good job.
And so in addition to that, they have to pay Warner Brothers Television a pretty big licensing fee because they, you know, Warner Brothers owns Supergirl. So that could be another reason. Now, CBS has been trying, from what I've heard, they've been trying to get a lower fee, you know, so they can kind of work on their budget a little bit and keep it there. But as another option, they could move it to CW. And what they would have to do most likely is move the show, the filming of the show, to Vancouver, which would, you know, probably change the look of National City quite a bit.
Or she just moves from National City to Coast City or something like that.
Yeah, that could be too, right? And then, you know, they'd probably have to be in talks to get some of the bigger stars moving to Vancouver, if that's the case, you know, like Calista Flockhart and things like that. But
right, which right now she lives with Harrison Ford in like the Malibu area or something like that. So that would be a potential loss for the show.
Yeah, although I think they probably go to Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Doesn't he have a house up in Jackson Hole somewhere?
He does.
I don't know. He's got planes. He can take her to work. Come on. What's he doing? It's not like he's got another Star Wars movie to make.
It would be great because then it would be all four of these DC shows, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all on CW. I mean, it would be a hat trick plus one.
Yeah. And they would be able to do crossovers a lot more easily just for, you know, paperwork stuff. But anyway, it would be an interesting move. I wouldn't mind seeing it. The effects may suffer from it a little bit, but you know what? With all of the CW hero shows right now, even when they have a little flub here or there that you can tell or isn't quite up to standards, it's still fun to watch, and I think they do a great job. So I'd be okay with it.
Well, I guess we'll see what happens, and stay tuned to Scarlet Velocity for all your Supergirl news.
There you go. All right, so let's go ahead and get talking about this episode because this was a big one. This was a huge one. I think the whole main focus of the episode sort of revolved around the choice that Barry had to make. And, you know, we talked last week about him being a hero and about him not moping about losing his powers, just doing his best and doing what he can.
And still, I think, you know, being a hero for it, yeah.
Exactly. Right. And I think he was still trying at that this week, but he was starting to realize that it was really just too big for him to handle.
Well, there was one line that he used where he said, when he's the Flash, like that's the best version of himself.
Yeah.
Which I think that's, it's okay for the character to say, and it's not a problem. It's just, I don't agree with Barry.
I don't either. Because I'm not sure anybody else did either, but.
Right. But he's having a crisis of confidence, I think, you know, at that point. And, you know.
Yeah. He felt helpless. He felt very helpless. He felt like he should be able to do something about this because probably realistically, he, as the Flash, he probably is the only person that could do anything about this. But he doesn't have that anymore.
Right.
So what they did, or what, you know, Barry did, he kind of surrounded himself by the three most important father figures that he has. Wells, of course, is there. And I think he's kind of the catalyst for him forcing Barry to make this decision, and probably rightly so. I guess that's debatable depending on your philosophies, but he wants him to do it, obviously. I mean, he's pushing him to take the risk and pushing him to do this and say, look, this is the only way we're going to stop Zoom.
Right.
What do you think Wells' main motivation are for doing that?
I still feel it's protecting his daughter.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, I think that because ever since Zoom's out there, obviously he feels guilt about Zoom being created because of his particle accelerator explosion over on Earth 2. But I think that until they deal with Zoom, I don't think he ever feels that Jesse's going to be safe.
Okay. So it's his daughter. You do think there's some guilt in there, because I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
And what about just for the sake of stopping Zoom because
it's the right thing to do?
Well, yeah, it is the right thing to do. Yeah, to save the city, basically. Do you think there's anything in there thrown in there for Wells specifically? No, none of the other characters, but for Wells. Do you think he has that kind of motivation?
There, that, you know, it may be like, you know, 90% all this other stuff and 10% that.
Yeah, it doesn't. He doesn't really act that way.
But listen, he pushes Barry so hard in this episode, you know, really to do something that Barry is not comfortable doing. And he continues pushing, even after Barry's expressed, you know, this is really not what I want to do, you know, based on what I've talked to Henry about and what I've talked to Joe about. This is not, I just can't do this. And you know, we just have to figure out some other way to go. But Wells keeps pushing, and Wells is not, you know, he's not kind in that way. He's very rough. And again, I think it's his emotions, the safety for his family that he's, you know, feeling right now.
Right. And do you think there's kind of a pressure of time there that, I mean, he thinks we need to do this as soon as possible? Or, I mean, I'm still wondering if he was weighing the risks enough, especially after the particle accelerator explosion. I mean, do you think he was weighing those enough, or do you think he was really confident that it was going to work? Because I don't know. It seems to me like he was rushing, and I'll give you a good example of that.
Okay.
When my laptop fried, I was desperate. I mean, there is a lot of things on there that I absolutely cannot lose. A good portion of my life is on there. And again, I should have backed it up. I know you don't have to write in, people. I do. I know that now. But but I was so desperate that, you know, I did a search to try to find somebody that could recover this data for me. And I found a couple options. But honestly, I really tried to call quickly to try to get this taken care of as soon as I could. After I had done it and given it to this guy that came and picked it up, I really started worrying because I have absolutely no idea who this guy is.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that I'll get my computer back. And right now I'm just sort of living on the thread of hope. But I was so desperate to take care of this problem that I took the first viable option that I could.
Yeah.
Is that what Wells is doing here? I mean, he's working the problem. You
that
know,
is a
he's
good
got
question.
He's got his little oil pencil on their glass window board. You know, yeah. he's working that. He's actually the same problem three or four times when Henry was talking to him.
Yeah.
But
would you stop talking so I can do this?
Oh, it was Henry's fault. He made one little mistake there. No. I don't know. I worry that he rushed through too fast to get it done.
Wells does seem to have that a little bit. We see that come when it's important to the story, or important to the show, I guess. I won't say the story, but the show. Because there are other times at the beginning of the season, as you'll recall, when I was discussing where he was really trying to rush to get Jesse back, but then we'd go two episodes without any talk about trying to get Jesse back,
because
it didn't serve the story. It didn't serve the show and what was going on with that. But yes, in this particular case, I think it really was it probably was a rush because he knew he had to do it. He had an idea. It's like, I know we can do this. He was very confident in knowing exactly what needed to happen. But I mean, can you really be that sure? There are a huge number of variables in this entire equation.
Yeah, there really were. And it did seem different. Like they were trying to recreate the actual explosion, but it did seem like there were differences. I mean, just the way he was exposing Barry to the chemicals was different.
Right.
So,
right.
Hmm. Well, let's talk about the opposite end of the spectrum there for Barry's decision-making purposes was Henry. So great to see John Wesley Shipp back again. I love
if it's just for the one episode, right?
Even if it's just for the one episode, I really like seeing him on there. So Barry went up to the old cabin where Henry was. I'm guessing in Vancouver is where his cabin was.
Woo!
Wrong way. And you know, Henry's up there in his plaid, you know, flannel shirt, chopping wood,
just
being a mountain man.
Like
he makes a good mountain man with that chin.
That's, yes, he does.
And starts talking to him. Now, Henry hears a few things, but then he comes back with him, and they say he's there to stay.
Yeah.
And my first reaction to that is, no. No.
Is that also like a character saying that he's just so happy?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
No, why? No. Okay, so I'm very, very worried for Henry's safety now.
Well, no, okay. I can help you out with that. See, I think he was there to stay, which means that Barry has to go. So what happened to the episode? Barry left. Well, not necessarily. I don't know. But who knows where he went? Barry is one with the Speed Force now. And so, you know, maybe that's it. It's, you know, it's just one of those things where he's decided to stay, so Barry, you know, as a character, can't be there. And then maybe when Barry gets back, if Barry gets back, I don't know. I have to know where Barry is to be able to know if he's able to come back. I would assume he would rejoin the group at some point, but maybe not for a couple episodes. You know, he hasn't had his speed for a couple episodes here, so maybe Henry will stick around to keep the team company as the de facto. Alan.
Yeah. Well, knowing, you know, what we know and behind the scenes and stuff, I think he is back next week because I think he was in the episode directed by Kevin Smith. So we'll see him. But I worry when they say he's back for good, and I know that they're not using him as a regular character on the show. I am very worried about Henry. Now, there is another little piece of information that I heard this week that also makes me worried about Henry's safety is that Tom Cavanaugh was recently on DC All Access this week and given an interview, kind of teased a major character death by the season finale.
It's Wells. He's going to die again.
Well,
and
that
they're going to come out with Wells Part 3.
That is possible yet unlikely, although they've done that on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
So I was going to say, I don't know how. Yeah, I mean, it's there's definite precedent for it. So
Yeah, there is. So I'm really worried about Henry. However, let me talk really quickly about his decision. Now, he is telling Barry he doesn't have to do this, that it's, you know, they'll find another way, that, you know, he doesn't have to put himself in potential danger for the city.
Mm-hmm.
Is he right?
Yeah, of course he's right. But, you know, of course Barry doesn't have to put himself in the danger.
But is Barry responsible for some of this stuff ultimately? I mean, he did give Zoom his power back.
Responsibility and the superhero. Yeah. Yeah. You know, there is... You know, Wells shares some blame. Barry shares some blame on all this. So, for me,
Henry's this moral compass, and I don't think he wants to do it from his own personal. I'll say selfish, but I mean I'm not in a negative way, but his own personal selfishness of his love for Barry. But also, I don't see him really pushing hard for Barry to stop. You know, I mean, I don't see him yelling at him saying, no, I'm not going to let you do this. No.
He's very proud of what his son has accomplished, but also I think he just wants to be supportive and let him know that very much in the same way that Iris was doing, that regardless of what you decide, you don't need to do this. Now, if you choose to do that, that is okay too, but this is not a requirement because you have powers or don't have powers. it's not a requirement to, you know, to be responsible for the city.
Right.
But, you know, Barry's had a taste of, you know, whatever yeah. the hero, you know, rush is that he gets and stuff like that. And so he enjoys that.
But I think Henry is really there to say, look, I hear what Wells is saying. But he's telling you to do it for the wrong reasons. So if you're going to do it, this is why you do it. You know, so yeah, that's kind of where point. Henry is. So ultimately, I think Henry is probably the most right of anybody that's talking to Barry about this, just because he's saying, look, if you're going to do it, make sure you do it for the reason that is important to you.
You saying that Henry is the moral compass, you know, for Barry, I think is great. He's kind of the moral compass for the show, and the fact that he had played the Flash previously. I mean, it all kind of fits together as, you know, he is a father figure, but he is also the father figure, right? He's the biological father on the show, and he, you know, he puts the, what he says carries more weight than I think what a lot of other characters say for
yeah.
Barry for a number of reasons, both in show and out of show, you know,
he's kind of like the final word to Barry, you know? And I think his final word was do it if you really think you should do it. I think that's kind of what his final word was. Not in those exact words, but
right.
I think that's what he meant.
Now, you being worried about Henry, I think there is obviously there is good reason to worry about the character of Henry, you know, especially when you say, oh, you know, he's going to stick around now, especially after he skedaddled so quickly at the beginning of the season. But I have an interesting idea because of some dialogue that came up this week. I don't know when you want to talk about this, but
Let's just go for it.
Okay. So there was, in the discussion at the cabin, you know, very casually, oh yeah, you know, Henry just happens to mention that, Garrick. Oh yeah. That was my mother's maiden name, you know, no biggie, whatever. It's like, whoa, hello. Can we revisit this here? Hang on a second.
So, yeah. You'd think Barry would have been, wait, what? Hold on a second.
That seems kind of
strange.
Let's
go back to that.
Yeah. Was Grandpa's name Jay? No, you know. So this, to me, this really points that Henry has a counterpart on another Earth named Jay Garrick, and he possibly is the man in the Iron Mask. So even if something were to happen to Henry, that doesn't, again, just like something happened to Wells last season or, you know, bad Wells, doesn't preclude the actor from continuing on next season.
That is true. That is true. And as a matter of fact, if he were the real Jay Garrick on Earth 2 and came to Earth 1 to be Barry's moral compass as a Jay Garrick Flash, you wouldn't have to see him all the time. So he could,
right.
That character could still revisit.
And he would be the older.
Periodically.
And he would be an older Flash, like Jay Garrick is supposed to be an older Flash to Barry Allen's Flash.
Yeah. And he could even move to where was Jay Garrick from? Was that Keystone City?
Keystone, yeah, right across the bay.
Yeah, there you go. See, he could go live there and be the Keystone City Flash. There you go. See,
he would work with the Keystone cops.
Exactly.
Like Barry works with the Central City cops.
He wouldn't even have to talk. So yeah, those are great ideas, and they may actually go there, and we'll probably talk about that on a very near future episode, because I think we don't have many episodes left to find out who that is.
Three episodes left. Yeah.
Now I will say, as far as everything, I really like that theory. That's the top of my list now. Although I will say that the body type of the Man in the Iron Mask is not nearly as large as Henry.
It doesn't mean
they can't do it.
Right.
Doesn't mean they can't do it. But
I think we're down to, between what we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, I think we're down to Henry, a John Wesley Shipp doppelganger, or a Wally West doppelganger.
That is pretty much the only two on my list right now. But okay. You'll never know. They keep surprising me every week. So
yeah, who knows? It's going to be a woman or something like that. And we're going to be like, what? How did we not realize this?
Oh, it's Patty Spivot.
Yeah. Woo.
So, all right. So, Zoom, he's getting all emotional with his main squeeze, Caitlin. who is really horrible at covering her tracks. I mean, just put the box back, for crying out loud.
I don't know what to say about that. That was just
pretty obvious. You know what? Hey, she's kidnapped. You know, you don't make good decisions when you're kidnapped. I didn't make good decisions when my laptop broke. So
she's been kidnapped a couple times, though. I mean,
so she's an expert. Is that just,
I don't know.
She should have it down.
next kidnapping.
But he really is, for lack of a better word, is smitten with her. It's pretty clear that she's not going to go, oh, yeah, you know, you are still kind of dreamy. I don't know.
You're so pretty.
Let's go to CC Jitters. How are you feeling about this? About his...
He is suitably creepy.
He is.
There is no doubt about that. Teddy Sears has done a really good job of being able to create two distinct characters. The Jay Garrick. Three potentially, because if you count Hunter, and then even the Zoom persona is kind of different, but really a lot of that lends should be credited to Tony Todd for doing the voice. We don't know how much Teddy Sears has actually really been in the costume, you know, whether it's him or a stunt double or something.
Oh, you know what? I guess we really don't know that. Maybe we'll find out on the Blu-rays, but I get the feeling that it has been him.
But
just the body type and stuff. But
yeah. But I mean, yeah, he's been totally creepy. And yeah, I feel like the little tie-ins to his, or the flashbacks to his childhood stuff that they've been putting in there, that's,
yeah,
there's something that's going to come from that. I mean, obviously that's the inner monologue that he's having when he's talking to her, and she says something about a monster, and he starts thinking in his head, he's like, I'm not a monster. And then he actually says, like you said, I am a monster. You know, it's just off his rocker.
Could Barry go, this is wild and way out there. That just occurred to me when you were talking about his past.
Okay.
Could Barry go in the past on Earth 2 or even Earth 1, I don't know, and get Hunter's mom and bring her back?
Wow. Would that fry his brain?
Oh my, yeah. Yeah, it would. I mean, that would be a great, I can't think of an appropriate word for just a mind mess up. That's just a wild thought. I don't even know how they would do that. But no, Barry,
you're breaking
is
my brain here on that one. That's
now amazing. That Barry is supposedly in some other place, you know, and we don't know where, we don't know when. And if he is trapped in the Speed Force, has no, you know,
no beginning
time
and no
range
end,
or no beginning, no end, and even no, you know, potentially no universe limitations. So it's a possibility. Crazy. Well, we'll see that next week. We'll talk about that next week.
Okay.
Great job with Hunter. I don't think he has any intention of hurting Caitlin. Any way that he's going to punish her for anything that she does, he's going to take out on other people. You're right. Mm-hmm. Very, very creepy. Very creepy. Interesting use of Sisko and his brother this week.
Okay. Yep.
It almost felt a little bit, I don't want to say forced, but kind of wedged in there a little bit just for purposes. But I really do like how they're using Dante in there. I'm wondering if we're going to see him more.
Well, not the Earth 2 version, because basically once you see a metahuman from Earth 2, they are killed off rapidly.
Yeah, other than Killer Frost. I think she lasted 3 episodes. But
yeah, yep, about
everybody
that.
Else, yeah, they got a few lines, and that was pretty much it. Cool costume.
Yeah, cool costume. What I was going to say, though, was that I thought it was interesting about the way that Vibe misinterpreted his vision, his vibe. And he saw Dante, assuming it was actually his brother Dante and not Rupture. And the fact that kind of got them back together. And I think, you know, by the end of the episode, I think they reconciled a little bit. It seemed like Sisko was harboring possibly more of a grudge based on the way they reconciled, though obviously Dante is just a big douche too.
Yes, he is. So, I mean, I kind of thought their last encounter helped a little bit, but it sounds like they didn't progress. Again, you know, Sisko's had to kind of keep a lot of that stuff from people about what he does and who the Flash is and what he can do. And
He is not 100% committed to the superhero thing yet. I mean, for himself, at least.
No, he is not, which I like. And I'm not sure how far I want them to go with that. I don't know that I want him to become a full-blown
breakdancer.
Yes.
Okay.
But just a hero out on the streets. You know, I like his role as the back at Star Labs team helper.
He's good support, and because of his abilities, he can do a little bit more behind the scenes because, like, right now, he doesn't know about how to do all those other abilities like the reverb had on Earth 2. Mm-hmm. So, you know, his abilities are, bring in some information. I'll hold it. I'll think about it. I'll see what I can see. Okay, here's what I think you should do. And then the superhero goes out, you know, Barry or whoever goes out and takes care of the business. But at some point, I feel like they're probably going to work on harnessing his powers a little more. I feel it's going to be something Barry will bring up at some point. Like, we really need to, like, work on this with you because, you know, you need to be a little more confident about that.
I'd be okay if, you know, if out of necessity they did that. You know, they encountered someone who they really needed him to help with in a way that he hasn't quite achieved.
Like,
I just don't want him hitting the streets necessarily.
A metahuman, like, made out of Jell-O or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be great for vibe powers. So now Dante had a doppelganger on Earth 2, which I guess seemingly had metahuman powers, although I don't know how much. I mean, it could have just been his
voice changer
there. Voice changer, yeah.
Well, it seemed like he channeled power through the scythe, but they did make it sound like the scythe was the source of the power. So I don't know.
But it did sound like they, you know, I mean, they said, I think Zoom is bringing metahumans, and it sounded like Rupture was a metahuman. So is it possible? Could Dante have some powers on Earth 1 as well that we don't know about yet?
Yep, it's totally possible. I think it's possible for anybody to have powers that we don't know about at this point because it may, you know, like Sisko's powers took a while to manifest. We've seen so many. Well, you know, it's been 2 years now since the particle accelerator exploded, and there are still metahumans popping up. Now, they've done a pretty good job of saying the ones that have just shown up, like Tar Pit, when he showed up earlier in the season, okay, it's because he was kind of trapped in Tar, and that's why, like, he didn't show up before now. They've mentioned in this particular episode there are probably a bunch of other metahumans, but they just have been staying away because of the Flash. Yep. So they're giving some good reasons why these other characters haven't been there. But, you know, for some of them, it's just they didn't develop their powers until later for some reason.
Well, and now, hey, we got another particle accelerator explosion. So you never know what could happen. There could be more.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Like,
and they even mentioned that. So
that was just smacking me in the face. That was... I mean,
like
I knew they
like
were going to end
West
up having to do
in
it.
The face, or just kind of a
it was like it was like
there.
A wave of dark energy, like rolling over me, just smacking me in the face. I knew that they were going to do a particle accelerator explosion, you know, to work out stuff with Barry. Even just seeing a couple shots from the trailer for this particular week's episode, but the whole time, you know, they put Wally in. Jesse in the time vault. And I'm like, they're not safe in there. If anything happens, that actually could be the worst place for them, you know, because we still don't really know what the properties of that room are, though I'm assuming everybody's checked it out. But
right. Well, hey, at the very least, they could get a bladder infection.
As I was watching it the second time, my wife was like, oh my gosh, how's she going to go to the bathroom? I'm like, hang on a second. They address this.
Yeah, they address it by she asks too.
Yeah, exactly.
They never did answer them.
No, of course
not. I mean, they didn't even throw a coffee can in there. You know, like, oh, here,
So,
but I'm wondering how long they were in there too. Maybe they.
Yeah, I don't know. I would say it was a few hours or whatever. But my point is that the end of this with the explosion and the potential fallout was very obvious, I guess, to me.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. Did that bother you that it was that obvious?
It depends on what they do with it. So
okay. I hear you on that.
There are two, maybe three speedsters now, you know, for the price of one, depending on whether Barry got his powers back. We got two other people that got nailed with the Dark Force. As my wife pointed out, she's like, well, they didn't get the chemicals on them. And I'm like, well, none of the other people that got metahuman powers, you know, they were just, they got kind of whatever was around them. You know, the
Wait.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember, he incorporated the chemicals into this particle accelerator explosion this time.
Ah, because they were injected into Barry, and since he kind of atomized when he exploded, all of that stuff went out?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, it was, you know, for Barry, it was a separate thing the first time, but this, it was all right there, condensed.
That is a good point, yeah.
But then, of course, you know, you do have Wally's, you know, need for speed and Jesse's little nickname there. So, but,
right. I felt that the Wally stuff was more overt, that if anything were to happen, Wally will probably get powers before Jesse, if she gets them at all, just because in this particular episode, they even mentioned how Wally really wants to help out, you know, that the increased need to help out. Plus, as you mentioned, Joe says Wally's need for speed in there. So I feel it's just really being telegraphed. So if they go ahead with that, I think I'll be okay with it, because I want to see Wally as a speedster. But
I do eventually too, yeah.
Again, depending on how they play all this and if they just start playing coy for weeks and weeks and play it off into next season, then I don't know if I'll be as excited.
Yeah, well, we'll see how they do it. It's got to mean something. They got out right at the right time. So
yeah. Also, I wanted to find out from you what were they expecting two teenage kids of the opposite sex to do, you know, alone in a locked room for hours?
Oh! I think I know this one.
Yeah, go ahead, Josh. Were you going to say Tetris? Because I always have problems with the one that's like a 3x2 with the long.
Is that what the kids are calling it these days? Yeah. Tetris.
Tetris.
Yeah, interesting. I wonder if they do start to develop a little relationship. I wouldn't have a problem with that. I kind of like both those characters. They're kind of young and fancy free. There, that's cool.
Can you see? I don't know. I feel like Wells would not think anybody was right for his daughter, but especially like Wally. You know, it's like no. I can't have this. I can't have Joe as a father-in-law or as a what would it be? An in-law, I guess. An in-law.
Yeah, I guess that it would be Jesse's father-in-law. So
yeah.
So I don't know. I'd be okay with that. And Wells he's not. Anybody, he's too protective of his daughter. But
yeah,
what, speaking of relationships though, Iris dropped a little bombshell on Barry. She's like, hey, I know you might just be getting ready to die and go into oblivion, but I wanted to tell you something just super quick. One quick thing. This will just take a minute.
Really, did you have to tell me that now?
I saw a lot of problem with people online about this, about how quick she
did. You
did? I did. I just saw a couple people, and some of it wasn't criticism. Just, I don't know. Was this the right time to tell her? Is it the right time to tell her? In my opinion, I'm going to share my opinion. I think it was perfect. I thought they did a really good job, and I don't think it was quick. I think Iris has been struggling with this for weeks now, and I think it all kind of came to head when she was struggling with letting Eddie go, but then she decided to let Eddie go and went out with Scott or something, or no, her editor, Scott! Whatever his name was.
Yeah.
And when that didn't work, it didn't work because she was thinking, well, wait, if I'm going to move on from Eddie, what am I moving on to?
Right.
I have somebody who I'm very close to, who I love very much already.
But a lot of this is, as she pointed out, she's like, well, but, you know, we found out that we're supposed to be together in the future, and on the other Earth, we're together. So, like, those point to reasons why we should be together. It's that, it's kind of that free will versus fate argument. It's like, yeah. Well, who's going to fight it? Like, if you're telling me that we're together in the future, whether it's this future or an alternate future or another dimension or whatever.
Yeah, sure, but.
I know she does have the feelings, but it just seems...
Regardless of that, I think those things that have happened have just made her understand her feelings more than she was before. You know, like you said, she's got the feelings. I think seeing all those things happen with her on another Earth and the future and that have just made her understand it more. That is kind of what she says. You're right. These are the reasons why we should be together. But I think it's just, she's just kind of coming to a realization of that. Yeah, at least that's how I feel.
Okay.
I didn't feel like it was inappropriate at all. Matter of fact, I thought this was one of the best performances that Candace Patton had given all season. She hasn't had that much to do most of the season. So I thought this was a good emotional scene for her.
Yeah. There's another sequence I'm thinking of. There wasn't too much of a performance to it, but when she was watching Eddie's video that Barry brought back from Earth 2.
Oh, yeah, that was good too. That was good.
She was just basically crying.
Yeah.
But I felt more empathy for the character at that moment than I did in this particular place, just because of the timing. You know, like it's not. I can't get 100% behind it just because it's like you know, and this is, you know, it's the writers, right? You know, you put characters in odd situations like this.
On the other hand, right, if you're in that situation, she absolutely knows that he has the potential to die. He has the potential to never come back and not see her anymore. And don't you think that she would want to tell him how she felt before that happened? Okay. And hard. But I mean, you know, you don't want to have that regret in your life that you didn't say how you really felt before it was too late.
So when is doing that being too selfish though?
But how is that selfish? I mean, if he is going to do this anyway, whether she tells him or not, if he doesn't make it, if he dies, which seemed like it would happen, how is that selfish? I mean, you're not hurting him.
So I get into this argument with my wife about the fact that I think about myself more than I think about her. That's not my argument. That's just
I was going to say that's what you tell her. No wonder you guys are fighting about it.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, like, I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate here because, I mean, I look at things as, well, you know, you're living your life. So, of course, you kind of need to look out for yourself. But, you know, you don't want to exclusively focus on yourself and ignore, you know, others around you. But there is a point where, you know, I think you have to just look at it and say, you know, am I being selfish? Knowing that Barry might go to die. Mm-hmm. Would it be selfish for me to profess my love to him right now so that, of course, I feel better because I've gotten that off my chest, but now you've just burdened this person who has, up to that point, like, all right, I've got it. I've steeled myself, and I'm going to go, and I may not see any of these people again. I'm not even going to say goodbye to anybody just because it's that, you know, difficult, and then she dumps all this kind of stuff on you.
Yeah. I hear you. And maybe that is a little selfish. I would argue that that's not a bad thing. I think it's good to kind of get that stuff out there so you can deal with the situation rather than just keeping it from people because it's hard to deal with. I don't think it's bad to deal with things that are hard, but yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. And maybe it was selfish for her, but she went for it. Dang it.
Also, Cisco's upset because I'm pretty sure that suit was a rental.
Oh, so.
Never, you know, he loses the deposit. Yeah.
Well, yeah, so he may be running around naked and afraid. Maybe the Flash is going to be on that show.
I get it now. I There was an episode or an issue. I'm trying to remember which big DC crossover it was, but Batman got vaporized. And everyone was like, oh, my God, they killed Batman. But then, oh, I think it was Final Crisis. And then at the end of that series, you see that Batman is really living in, like, the caveman days. He's still alive, and he's still him, and he's just shacked up with a couple of cavemen in a cave.
He's living next door to Fred on the opposite side Barney. Of Barney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it's totally possible that, Barry, just like you said, is naked and afraid, got blasted somewhere.
Yeah. Now, there was a story in the comics where Barry Allen, something similar happened. I don't remember exactly how this happened, but he became one with the Speed Force where he was lightning. You know, he became basically lightning, and he went back and caused his own creation.
Was that Rebirth? I think that was Rebirth.
That was Rebirth. Right. And so he was the one that created himself. Could this be something like that? Could Barry actually become the lightning or the Speed Force that makes him become the Flash? I don't know. Based on what I saw next week, I'm not sure about that idea, but it is something that, you know, is set up perfectly.
Well, you've got me thinking about something now, because you said something earlier that he could actually be in the Speed Force, which, you know, has no time constraints. And it really could be the whatever reality that Barry wants to create for himself. And based on a couple of the scenes we saw, that could be a potential reasoning for that. And if we tie in this whole idea, if he becomes the lightning that ends up creating himself, he because in this episode, what was the quote that I had earlier where he says, the Flash is the best version of me. So, yeah, that could, I mean, other than being a total paradox sort of setup.
Right, of course. Well, I don't think they concern themselves too much with that in the show.
and you shouldn't. I mean, if it's an interesting story. Like, would you choose to give yourself the power? You've lost your power now. Would you choose to give yourself the power again? And then if, as a character, you're given the power to give yourself that power, you know, in this a cyclical loop.
Yeah.
Do you choose to do it again? And maybe that's the whole thing. Maybe Barry has to make a conscious decision to, and he did in this episode, to become the Flash, but I don't know that he was completely convinced about it. But maybe that's what the next episode is going to be about, the runaway dinosaur, right? Because that's all about him not running away.
Living with Batman
power.
Next to.
Yeah, again, that whole Batman thing. And Kevin Smith has written... No, he never wrote Batman, I don't think.
I think he is a fan of Batman. I'm just guessing on that, though.
But just due to the fact that he's got a podcast called...
Fat Man on Batman.
Fat Man on Batman, yeah.
Yeah. Well, The Runaway Dinosaur, yeah, interesting title.
Yeah.
Curiously enough, I don't think it is a Bruce Springsteen song, so we don't have that to fall back on.
It is not. Well, it's also not the penultimate episode.
It is not, no. So Runaway Dinosaur. I think I had an old Scholastic book or something about a runaway dinosaur, Sid the Dinosaur or something. I don't know.
So, yeah, I was going to say, so the last few titles of shows are pretty easy to kind of figure out. I mean, they seem to make sense with things that are happening. Versus Zoom, Back to Normal, Rupture, right there. And they can be read a couple of different ways.
Uh-huh.
And then I hear The Runaway Dinosaur and I'm like, what is like,
well, this is going to be very symbolic. So I'm looking forward to discussing the title next week, because I'm sure it's going to be connected to something fun.
I am going to throw out my idea right now so that when I'm correct, we can all know that I said it this week.
All right, let's hear it.
The Runaway Dinosaur was a storybook. I honestly have no preconceived information, honestly.
Okay.
The Runaway Dinosaur is a storybook that Barry's mom used to read to him. And at some point, he will revisit the story of the runaway dinosaur, which in some way mirrors his own story now, and he will, you know, I don't know, come to peace with his mom, which he kind of did already at the end of last season, but I think there could be more to that.
Well, maybe she'll guide him a little bit more in this one. You know, he came to peace with her, but maybe she'll help guide him in making a decision that is going to save everybody. I love that idea. I love that idea of it being a storybook. I bet. I think you're right.
That would be awesome.
So I will praise you next week when that happens. So, All right. Well, you know what? We're nearing the end here, but I do want to just share one little piece of feedback we got this week.
Okay.
From Frank, sent us an email. Why don't you read that to us real quick?
Yeah, he titled it Jay Garrick and Doppelgangers. And so Frank says, great episode as always. However, I think you guys are giving too much importance to the lack of an Earth One Jay Garrick as evidence that the man in the Iron Mask is someone else. That was what I was pointing out last week, that everybody seems to have an Earth One and Earth Two doppelganger. And if there's no Jay Garrick on Earth One, how can there be a Jay Garrick on Earth Two? He says, there are two Earth Tours so far that have no Earth One doppelgangers. Jesse Wells and Killer Frost's brother, who is Charlie, I believe.
Charlie, yeah.
Now, of course, they don't have ones that we know about, but he says, right. He goes on to say, I don't think the brother reveal set up the next season, but instead reinforce the idea first shown with Jesse Wells that not everyone has a double on both Earths. Therefore,
that's possible.
It's still highly probable the man in the Iron Mask is the real Jay Garrick. Side note, what do you think of the idea that Wally or Jesse get super speed and go on to be the Flash / Jesse Quick on a post-Zoom Earth 2, presuming that Jay won't want or be able to get his powers back? Keep up the great show. So I think that's obviously, as we kind of discussed earlier, I think that's a really good idea there.
Yeah. I don't think Jesse and Wally will be on Earth 2. I don't think they'll go live there. Maybe Jesse will, but I don't know about Wally.
It would be nice to see Jesse get speed and then go clean up Zoom's mess over there. That would
be kind of cool.
Yeah.
That would be cool. So and as far as the first thing goes, the Jesse Wells thing makes a lot of sense that she wouldn't have a doppelganger here on Earth too. At least, well, yeah, she wouldn't, because the real Harrison Wells never ended up getting married. They died before they ever got married. So they wouldn't have had kids. So there wouldn't have been a Jesse Wells.
Right. With the Jay Garrick not being here, if that was Henry's mother's maiden name, then maybe, you know, maybe she had a baby that didn't survive or had an abortion or something like that before she met Henry's dad.
Yeah, could be. So interesting. So I do still think there's a doppelganger Wally, but not sure about the Jesse. We'll find out more.
Want to see a doppel Wally.
Doppel Wally. Cool. Well, excellent. Hey, again, thank you very much for keeping up with us. And Frank, thanks for sending the email. I love when people send in things that make us think. So that's great. Few quick references we'll go over this week. They were very fun references this week.
Leroy Jenkins.
That was awesome.
I actually had the pleasure of sharing the original Leroy Jenkins meme with my son, who plays video games, who did not know about it. Like, he knows about all sorts of weird stuff on the internet. So I got to share that with him. So that's from
now. I did not know
World
about the Leroy Jenkins thing before I read the book Armada by Ernie Cline.
Oh,
so
really?
Can you just quickly explain Leroy Jenkins for those that may not know?
I believe it was a World of Warcraft, and there's a video online, which I believe is apocryphal. I think it really is a setup video, but it's an online chat. All the characters have camped out in front of the final big battle that they have to do. They're all discussing their plan. You go in and you shoot this fireball, and because there's going to be a horde of orcs and a dragon and stuff in there, and everybody is figuring out their plan. And unfortunately, Leroy Jenkins was away from keyboard when they're making this plan. So all of a sudden he comes back on the headset, screams his name, and charges right in, setting off all the traps, and everybody's like, oh, shoot, we got to fall. And so everybody rushes in and then proceeds to just get wiped out.
Yeah, so that has become the battle cry, I guess, when you rush into a fight without really being
prepared. All
the
time on Battlefront, Star Wars Battlefront right now.
Do you really? Nice.
Yeah. I'll just run into something and my kids are like, what are you doing? I'm like, Leroy! So, and then we had a reference to Fringe again. I think they'd mentioned that the other week, and we found out there was no Fringe TV series on Earth 2. Sisko brings up the Princess Bride when Rupture says that he killed his brother. He says that he's being Princess Brided here by this guy.
Nice use of a verb. I like it.
Yeah. Expecto Patronum was mentioned, the Harry Potter spell. When
man, they're Sisko really playing with that wand. Sisko.
Yeah.
How'd you know about the Harry Potter convention? That was good too.
And the chair that Barry sat in, very much like the electric chair, and a very Flashpoint style sequence where they try to get Flash's power back by inducing a lightning attack with the necessary chemicals and stuff, and it not working out how everybody expected it to. So see Flashpoint for that.
I was wondering all week whether they were going to burn him badly like they did in the comic when Batman was trying to get Flash's powers
back. Well, he got burned pretty good.
He did, but they didn't show it as much as they did in the comic.
Yeah, exactly.
So, man, packed show. It is really building up to something good. A very dark episode this week, I thought. Quite disturbing, actually, when Zoom killed the CCPD and that reporter. I was really afraid
for Sing. Yeah, I thought Sing was going to go too. As well. So did I.
But well, we'll find out more. They have got to stop Zoom. They do not have much time left because then they got to take a summer break. And you know you can't have bad guys killing people over the summer. So right. They've got to get it done soon, just for weather purposes. Man, but for this week's purposes, you and I, we're going to have to wrap it up and we're going to have to run.
Yeah, I enjoyed working on this episode with you, Josh, and I look forward to finding out more about dinosaurs running away.
I do too. So, and I look forward to having a computer back to talk to you on.
Oh, definitely. I hope so. Hope that comes out okay. But if you guys enjoyed the episode, please be sure to stop by iTunes, leave us some feedback over there. Or if you would like to talk to us about your theories or any other thing that we talked about here on the show, feel free to email us at scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com. You can tweet to us at scarletvelocity. We get some fun stuff going on over there. Or stop by and visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/scarletvelocitypodcast.
I'm billing Star Labs for my laptop too. You can also check out our other shows, Green Justice and Arrow Podcast and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, which can be found on randomchatter.com. So check that out over there, along with a whole bunch of other good shows too. All of those shows are available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And of course, if you enjoy this podcast, please let all your friends know about it, the fast and the slow ones. And remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop around and look once in a while, you could miss it.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.